Good evening and welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. Today's date is Tuesday, March 5th, 2013, and I'm your host, Rob Dew, and here's a look at what we have coming up.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, FEMA censors information about their mock zombie invasion. Then, Ron Paul exposes the sequester as another government scam. And Aaron Dykes exposes prisoner training at the Austin Kite Festival. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story. Well, like everything, all stories must come to an end, and it has come to an end for Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. The 58-year-old died today, or at least it was reported that he died today, from the vice president, who actually said it was an attack on his enemies. The headline on NBC reads, Venezuela VP Chavez's cancer was an attack by his enemies. There is no doubt that Commandant Chavez's health came under attack by the enemy, Vice President Nicolas Maduro said in an address to the nation from the presidential palace. He said a special commission would investigate how Chavez, 58, ended up with an unspecified cancer that months of chemotherapy, radiation, and four surgeries failed to tame. Well, I'm here to offer one possible explanation. Is it possible that Chavez had several vaccines? Did he get the flu vaccine every year? Did he get a tetanus shot? Well, we know that the SV40 virus was found in the polio shot that was given to over millions of Americans, and that it allowed those Americans to end up getting cancer. SV40 is the simian virus 40, and it is a virus that is known to cause cancer. And we're going to talk more about that later with our guest, Don Richardson. So there goes Hugo Chavez. We'll see what puppet they put in his place. Moving on. FEMA censors information about bizarre zombie UFO crash exercise. This is from Paul Joseph Watson. The exercise scheduled to take place on the 27th of April in the city of Moscow, Latea County, will involve all first responders in the county as well as surrounding counties, in addition to the community emergency response team under the auspices of FEMA. And on the subject of this zombie attack, we go to a special InfoWars news bulletin from Jakari Jackson.
I'm Jakari Jackson with an InfoWars news bulletin. We have a new article on InfoWars.com headline. FEMA censors information about bizarre zombie UFO crash exercise. The exercise, scheduled to take place on the 27th of April in the city of Moscow, will involve all first responders in the county, as well as surrounding counties, in addition to the community emergency response teams under the auspices of FEMA. Now, this is more of the same that we've seen from our big government agencies, our viewers may recall. In 2011, the CDC released a zombie survival guide. In September 2012, DHS told citizens to prep for a zombie epidemic, and in October 2012, Marines and Navy forces took part in a mock zombie invasion. Alex Jones has shown you in movies such as World War Z how the UN took advantage of these zombie epidemics to take people's guns and gun down American citizens. Regardless if you see any connection between the fiction and the reality, Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma said the thing was a great waste of money and did little to discourage potential terrorists. Now, I had a chance to speak with the media relations representative for FEMA Region 10, where Idaho is based, and he said to his knowledge, FEMA had nothing to do with this actual drill. And I pointed out to the gentleman, Mr. Ike, that this information was available on FEMA's own website, or at least it was until it was taken down. So believe who you will. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter. I'm Jakari Jackson with an InfoWars news bulletin.
Well, there you go. FEMA's involved in the exercise, but they're not involved in the exercise. No comment. Once again, and here we go with Ron Paul, the sequester crisis and what should be done. This is from Ron Paul, and it's appeared on InfoWars.com yesterday. Despite what the media and politicians would have us believe, the United States did not collapse last Friday when the package of spending reductions, known as sequestration, went into effect. The financial markets hardly blinked as they have come to be more skeptical about these periodic government hype crises, this being the third this year. What has been portrayed as a drastic reduction in government spending was merely a decrease in the projected rate of increase in government spending over the next decade. Under sequestration, the government spending increases by $2.4 trillion over the next 10 years rather than the $2.5 trillion without it. So we were speeding towards collapse at only 100 miles per hour instead of 110. And Ron Paul was actually on the news, on several news outlets talking about this, how this has nothing to do with cuts that have, that are in place. They're not going to be axing any programs or anything. This is just a projected, decrease in spending. And there you go. It's from 2.4 trillion. And what it was going to be was 2.5 trillion. And he also mentions under sequestration, defense spending will increase only 18% over 10 years as opposed to 20%. Like, we need more guns and bombs. I guess we do if we're the Homeland Security fighting the American people. And then he puts a laugher here at the end. In a recent tour of the Middle East, newly confirmed Secretary of State John Kerry announced that the U.S. would be sending another $60 million to the rebels, who are al-Qaeda, to overthrow the Syrian government in the midst of the sequester crisis. So there you go. It's much ado about nothing, yet Janet Napolitano would have you think that the sky is falling because now there's going to be long lines at the airport, she came out and said. And there you go. At a WBOC Channel 16, sequester already causing long lines at airports. So you got Janet Napolitano trying to hogtie us with these long lines. For the TSA, they're doing nothing but looking through our luggage, stealing our things, and basically causing a nuisance out there. And she's trying to hogtie us with this type of approach. So we'll call our government officials and say, please, please, spend more of our money on nothing. Please, please. There you go. Moving on. Military Patrol Austin Kite Festival and Martial Law Prep. And this is something we saw last year at the Austin Kite Festival. And this is from Aaron Dykes. For the second year in a row, troops controlled civilian transportation at the Austin Kite Festival, which took place Sunday, March 3rd, utilizing disaster training to facilitate crowds numbering more than 30,000 against the otherwise idyllic early spring park scene. And for more on the Austin Kite Festival and basically the program that we've been uncovering for a long time with troops going to be deployed to on the American streets to confiscate guns, we turn to Aaron Dykes.
Thanks, Rob. Now, I was at the Austin Kite Festival, and it's not about the kites. That's obviously all fun, good family stuff, although they did have a giant devil kite that was the main kite. But the what really happened was you had guard units there putting people onto buses, facilitating the people, which is all really part of a larger PSYOP to acclimate society to the presence of military anywhere and everywhere, especially at the most innocent of events. It's all explained here. We document all the whole history of most of it here.
Right. Follow, you know, the military's there. Just do what they say. Get on the bus. They're going to take you to someplace nice and safe and just do what they say. That's the basic gist of what we're seeing kind of in an overall plan, right?
Yeah, basically that's it.
All right. Well, let's go to that report right now. This is Aaron Dykes's brand new special report, and this is hard hitting. You're going to want to get this out to everyone you know.
Aaron Dykes here for InfoWars.com. We've got to ask ourselves, why are the feds preparing for a war against Americans? Why have they bought now more than 2 billion bullets, all kinds of arms and ammunition, and now more than 2,700 tanks to patrol in America and keep order? We're told it's because they love us. We're told it's to keep the peace and to increase safety. But of course, we also know from Army documents, from Homeland Security reports, and a lot of other information that it's really to occupy America and prepare for a civil unrest and a total economic collapse that will include gun confiscation.
Gun confiscation is exactly what happened during the state of emergency following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans.
Now, the founders who set up the Constitution and Bill of Rights did not want a standing army because they knew history and they knew that over and over again, that's how power corrupts and takes over societies. At the same time, they were concerned about historical examples like the Shays Rebellion that happened after the years of the Revolution, but before the Constitution, where soldiers who weren't paid formed mobs to try to take over the government. So they put in the possibility for the army to be used domestically for only one purpose, and that's to put down insurrections. This was strengthened through things like Posse Comitatus from 1878, strictly forbidding military from working with police or doing domestic operations. But that has whittled away in recent years, and there's been a concerted effort to do away with Posse Comitatus altogether and to take away the state's power over troops and National Guards and put all the power in the hands of the feds, Homeland Security, and the Department of Defense. We've of course seen how the military has been drilling, preparing, and training to take on Americans, put them in internment camps, and otherwise occupy the domestic sphere of society. Alex documented as early as his Police State 2000 film and in many of his other films. Here's a short clip where Americans come to checkpoints and beg for help from the military.
American forces are here to help. Remain calm. We will not tolerate civil disobedience.
But it's in no way limited to the things that Alex has just put in his films. This has been an ongoing effort that has been accelerating. David Knight did a special report just a few weeks ago documenting only a few of the recent urban warfare drills, many of which included helicopters firing simulated live rounds over major American cities. They include Houston, Miami, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Chicago, Los Angeles, and other locales.
Well, let's take a look at some of these recent drills. January the 28th in Houston.
Helicopters and the sound of gunfire created a lot of concern this afternoon in one Houston neighborhood.
And an Army major who was out here wouldn't tell us exactly what kind of training they were doing.
Miami, 4 days earlier, January the 24th. 2013.
Still, if you've seen one of these drills, it really is like a scene out of one of those action movies, choppers stalking the sky of downtown Miami. It's a joint military training exercise.
And here's another one in Minneapolis, August 28, 2012.
If you see military helicopters flying low over Minneapolis, do not be alarmed. They are training in an urban environment.
Here's another one, St. Louis, July 3, 2012.
It's a military mission in North St. Louis. Heavily armored vehicles are rolling into town, and while they come in peace, there are all kinds of rumors about why they are here.
Chicago, April 17, 2012.
A pretty scary scene along the Chicago River turns out to be a military training exercise.
Los Angeles, in January the 26th, 2012.
Special Military Operation Forces, in conjunction with the LAPD, conducting some military maneuvers.
Of course, in the 2010 film Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, Rob Dew, Alex Jones, and the other filmmakers covered the example of Arcadia, Iowa, where the National Guard practiced cordon and search drills in neighborhoods to specifically take on gun dealers to find, quote, weapons caches. And Alex interviewed the officer who was in charge of the drill. They were admittedly doing it for domestic purposes inside the United States, and we should really ask ourselves why.
It says in this article, going door to door, asking if they could search homes looking for weapons.
It's actually a planned training event to provide our soldiers with greater proficiency at what we call cordon and search. Which is a mission that, just for a little background, we've deployed nearly 13,000 members of the Iowa National Guard in the Global War on Terror, and then actually search for caches of weapons or other kinds of contraband which could harm American forces and other
like Fallujah, what we saw in
correct.
Fallujah.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then you have manuals like FM 3-39.40, specifically about internment and resettlement, and they include the presence of PSYOP officers to win over the support of the American people and, of course, to deal with dissidents. And this happens throughout history every time an oppressive power takes over. The Nazis, of course, didn't only come in with a strong military force. They first sent in what equates to PSYOP officers, psychological operators, who tried to win over public support. They offered children candy. They told them they were there to help. They did friendly public events. And we see this playing out again in American society, unfortunately, where National Guard military troops who aren't supposed to operate domestically are operating outside of their role, but in benign ways, at innocuous events to win over public support. And this, too, has been accelerating. Just in recent weeks, Alex has been to the Texas Independence Day celebration at Washington on the Brazos here in Texas. National Guard troops were present to conduct and operate traffic. He was at the Burger Center where National Guard and Texas Guard troops were operating. I went to the Kite Festival this weekend, and that footage is coming up in this report in just a few moments, where the Texas State Guard were operating the shuttle buses. We've also seen the National Guard working with police at events like the Kentucky Derby and other special events, including even high school sporting events.
The Kentucky National Guard was part of the massive security force required for this weekend's Kentucky Derby. Now, the troops took care of crowd and traffic control, provided three choppers and crews for aviation support.
All of this seems not particularly alarming until you look at the fact that they're ramping up, they're conditioning the public to accept the military in domestic roles where they never should be operating. Again, none of this is against individual members of the military or guard units. In fact, many of them are waking up in greater numbers and at a faster rate than the general public. And of course, we need them on our side. But who gives the orders and who will control that structure in the event of a crisis? We just had on the Alex Jones radio show today, Philip Zimbardo, who ran the Stanford prison experiment and who played off the findings of the Milgram experiment, where they study how good people or ordinary people in society can do evil things when they're put in certain situations. Here now is footage from the 84th annual Austin Kite Festival, where guard units are shuttling Americans onto buses just to get them back and forth from a friendly outdoor event. But ask yourself, what would happen if it wasn't a regular event, but if it was orders to send Americans to a FEMA camp?
Happy children, families, couples, a sunny day in early spring, all over a park in Austin. This is the scene of the Austin Kite Festival, now in its 84th year. An iconic and idyllic scene of peace and recreation. What could be better? But outside of this festive atmosphere, which had clogged downtown traffic and brought normal activities on this happy weekend day to a halt, was a military presence. The Texas State Guard, operating under the National Guard, was running part of the event. They were invited there by the Austin Exchange Club and operated with the help of police, the shuttle buses bringing Kite Festival goers to and from the event. It was admittedly run as other training exercises are, in preparation for natural disasters and other emergencies as coordinated by Homeland Security and FEMA, including this article posted on the Texas State Guard website. TXSG flies high with Austin Kite Festival, where they admit in part that festival organizers and participants gave the Texas State Guard soldiers real-world training for the kind of logistical support the organization provides during natural disasters and other emergencies. Quote, this gives us the opportunity to put our training and expertise into practical use in advance of our response to hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or fires. The National Guard first appeared in 2012 at the Austin Kite Festival, provoking several news articles. The internet was ablaze with the account of the National Guard patrolling the Austin Kite Festival in 2012. But here in 2013, there was scant mention of the National Guard's presence, other than just straightforward PR releases of how they would operate the buses and how they would carry passengers to and fro, conditioning the public to accept ever greater control in violation of posse comitatus to keep track and control of the people under any pretext they considered necessary. Homeland Security and FEMA have made big preparations, not only for natural disasters, but also for civil unrest or declared national emergencies. And their training exercises have routinely included the very functions that these National Guard members were carrying out during this Kite Festival, where they would line up the public and keep track of them as they were loaded onto buses. In 2011, InfoWars reporters traveled to Denver, Colorado to cover an exercise run by Homeland Security and FEMA, where various terror scenarios and school shooter scenarios prompted school buses to load children and take them to sports stadiums. Contingency plans for natural disasters and other emergencies have included in states like Texas and New Jersey RFID wristbands, where members of the population would be tracked and tagged upon entering buses and throughout their stay at emergency centers, like the one used by FEMA during Hurricane Katrina at the Superdome, where the public was not protected but instead subjected to a laboratory of martial law conditions. While there is no sign of this kind of disaster at the Austin Kite Festival, I guess it's good that military and police were there to keep order. I actually captured a very dangerous individual on this camera, seen here at a young age in a stroller using a terrorist weapon, the bubble gun.
As Americans interested in upholding the Constitution and protecting our individual and state rights, we have to ask ourselves why good military personnel and troops are being used to, quote, help in what seems like innocuous public events, festivals, sporting events. Well, they're trying to acclimate us to greater and greater military presence so that when the feds take over in what is a premeditated economic collapse, we'll accept them as our saviors and not think twice about going along with what is a total destruction of our American culture, society, and laws. Signing off for InfoWars.com.
There you go. Another hard-hitting report from Aaron Dykes. Be sure you get this report out. Send it to everyone you know. It's titled Troops Deployed Ahead of Collapse and Gun Confiscation. Very scary stuff indeed. I did a report a few months ago about troops ordered to kill people who did not turn in their guns, and it went viral, and it's still getting hits out there. People are still sending it to me. I don't even think they knew I did it because my name wasn't on it. It's pretty interesting how that stuff just keeps going around. Those are the types of info bombs we're liking. We really want to put out there, just like these little InfoWars news bulletins. They're really quick. They're hard-hitting. They make you think. So here's another interesting article again. DHS, $4.5 million contract with Heckler & Koch. And this is a guns manufacturer. Although the number of DHS agents who carry Heckler & Koch firearms is blacked out, the document states that the need to source replacement parts is to ensure reliability and minimize officer safety concern and to protect the American public. Yeah. And if you believe that, you'll believe that they're buying 2 billion bullets for target practice, right? Or how about 2,000 tanks? That's to get cats out of trees. Yeah, they're gearing up for a fight with the American public when they try to come after our guns. And that being said, we have a report, a quick bulletin from Melissa Melton, and this is on a couple of things that DARPA has unveiled this week. We go to you now with that report.
I'm Melissa Melton with an InfoWars News Bulletin. This month, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, has stepped the terror up a notch with two new revelations from its never-ending Big Brother tech rollout. First, Wired's Danger Room reported, watch this robotic dog throw cinder blocks with its head. So-called Big Dog has the ability to quickly climb rocky terrain without tipping over. But now a robot arm coming out of its body where a head should be can grab and chuck heavy cinder blocks like it's nothing. Media outlets like Mashable.com seem to miss the point with headlines like, DARPA Big Dog Robot Throws Cinder Blocks Proves It's Boss. I think the Reddit.com headline, DARPA Big Dog Robot Can Now Throw Cinder Blocks at Us, is more appropriate. In other scary DARPA news, another Wired headline out just yesterday claims, DARPA wants you to transcribe and instantly recall all of your conversations. As Paul Joseph Watson reported, DARPA is giving a $300,000 award to a University of Texas computer scientist for a new project called Blending Crowdsourcing with Automation for Fast, Cheap, and Accurate Analysis of Spontaneous Speech. Described as being like a Twitter feed or email archive for everyday speech, day-to-day conversations could be stored in archives and easily searched. Because DARPA apparently cares so much about us that they're willing to spend $300,000 so that we can easily store and search all of our conversations. Because so many people are sitting around going, you know what I wish I had? The ability to store everything I say every day, all day long, so I can go back and see what I had for breakfast 5 years ago. Add these projects to others like DARPA neuroscience research into the human flight or fight response and their breakthrough of being able to mind control a squid to change its colors, and we truly are living in a science fiction movie spawned in the darkest pits of hell. But hey, we've all seen the Terminator movies, right? What could possibly go wrong? And for more news updates, be sure to go to InfoWars.com and sign up for our free podcasts on the right side of our homepage.
Bet you never thought the big dog was going to be throwing cinder blocks, did you? Moving on to our final story. Guess who's coming to dinner? This is from the Washington Free Beacon. A Chinese general who once threatened to use nuclear weapons against hundreds of U.S. cities will visit the Pentagon this week as part of a U.S.-China military exchange program. Major General Zhu Qianhu, who is head of China's National Defense University, will take part in the familiarization exchange, Major Catherine Wilkinson, a Pentagon spokesman, told the Free Beacon. So we're inviting a guy to the Pentagon who said he wanted to nuke nuclear cities. That's almost like, well, you know, it's almost like exclusive. Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months after 9/11. That's amazing. They had Anwar al-Awlaki as part of a cultural exchange. That's just amazing how that happens. There it is. The Pentagon offered no explanation of how a man now on the CIA's kill or capture list ended up at a special lunch for Muslim outreach. Let me tell you what I think. I think it has to do with the fact that we like having these enemies out there, and we like having all these threats so we can pretend, you know, that we need to spend millions of dollars on defense and millions upon billions of dollars on, you know, domestic security forces, all in the name of terrorism and terrorists and the red threat and the Russians and anybody out there that we can use an excuse to build up this arm race that Dwight Eisenhower warned us about in his farewell speech. Well, there you go. Now we're inviting Chinese leaders to the U.S., who threatened to nuke us with hundreds of nuclear warheads. Pretty crazy. But, hey, we also had one of the top al-Qaeda leaders who dined at the Pentagon. We go now to a final bulletin from David Knight talking about a Russian general. Here it is now.
I'm David Knight with an InfoWars News Bulletin. Paul Joseph Watson reported on InfoWars that retired Russian General Leonid Ivashov told Pravda that America must be kept at gunpoint. Quote, tactical nuclear weapons that are constantly threatening the United States must become the factor that will deter large-scale aggression, holding it at gunpoint. This is the deterrent. Ironically, at the same time a retired Russian general was talking about American aggression, Russia Today was doing a hit piece on the Day of Resistance. A group of Americans concerned that feds are sending signals they intend to disregard a long-standing contract with the American people, that is, the Constitution. RT painted the Day of Resistance and the U.S. public support of the Constitution as a building rebellion.
Of America now favors some form of gun control, especially in the wake of tragic mass shootings, while the other is getting ready to fight against any significant regulations. They're preparing for what they call the invasion of feds by arming themselves to the teeth. One question arises when people here talk about protecting their freedoms with weapons that are designed for war. Do these people have such little trust in their democratic system to the point when they think a vote is not enough to secure their rights and that they need a stack of deadly weapons at home to do that? In Washington, I'm Ganesh Akin.
You see, the Second Amendment is about the American people having a deterrent against federal aggression. Just like the Russians, we see the federal government arming against us, conducting war game scenarios aimed at us, and a massive buildup in arms and ammunition to fight us. And how would the Russians or any other people feel if a government accompanied such a massive arms buildup with a notice that they intend to trash a long-standing treaty? That is the situation between the American people and the federal government. Except the Constitution is far more important than a treaty. It is the legal document that created the federal government and created the king, if you will, that our temporary stewards swear to obey as a condition of office. Yet, what I found at the Day of Resistance was cool, calm leadership. Listen to Texas State Representative David Simpson address the crowd.
Give them the bullets first.
I hope this lasts. The first thing we got to do is love them. We got to pray for them. We've got to use our freedom responsibly. We didn't get into this mess overnight. And they are just waiting for one of us to do something stupid and to use it as a crisis to take away the rest of our rights.
The American people, individually and collectively, are responding to federal threats and taking action that will hopefully deter large-scale aggression. As the Russian general said about the federal government, quote, holding it at gunpoint, this is the deterrent. And that is the purpose of the Second Amendment. Hold the federal government at gunpoint as a peaceful deterrent to tyranny. Did you know that our iPhone app is free? It's the only way that I could listen to Alex in North Carolina because he wasn't on the radio in my area, and I could listen to him at any time of the day. You can find it at the bottom of our InfoWars.com homepage. Check it out.
Thank you, David, for that report. We now go to our daily quote, and it is from Thomas Jefferson. Conquest is not in our principles. It is inconsistent with our government. Tell that to George W. Bush and the rest of the warmongers out there. Finally tonight, our latest issue. This is our seventh issue of the InfoWars magazine. It talks about Civil War II, which is going to be coming. And there you see a picture of the gun as one of the bars in the flag. And we also just started a new program starting today. It is the micro distribution program. Basically, what it is you get 50 or 100 magazines sent to your location per month. You buy a 1-year subscription, and then we send you a stand to go with it. So there you have your stand, you get your magazines, you put them in front of your place of business, or maybe you work with a vendor somewhere out there. Boom, you got your 50 magazines. You can charge for them. You can give them away for free. Anything to get out the message. So check out our InfoWars magazine micro distribution program. It is available in 50 packs, 100 packs, and even a 10 pack if you just want to get a few and just get your feet wet and passing out all the great information that is in InfoWars magazine. And those people who get involved in this will also be first in line when we start franchising this out for people to get the paper and put their own ads in and kind of run it as their own turnkey business. The people who get involved in this program will be first in line for that. So with that, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back with our interview that I'm going to conduct with Don Richardson, talking about some crazy laws that have been proposed in Texas and around the country on vaccines. It's InfoWars Nightly News.
Ja'Kari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle and the RAD Eliminator Pro filtered sports bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever popular grab and go bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest shower filter system. And the Aquapod kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
One of the best ways to promote the Liberty message is not only by listening to Alex's show, but also by wearing shirts that promote the message. And as you can see right here on InfoWarsShop.com, we have this shirt right here. It says Tyrant, and it also has a message in the back. It says, come and take it. Here's another great t-shirt. Come and take it. We obviously know that the Second Amendment is under attack, and this is a great, subtle way to let the public know how you feel. We also have some great ladies' shirts. You could see them right now. This one says InfoWars.com. There's a lot of female fans of the show. And we also have a female shirt that promotes the Second Amendment. Contrary to what some people might think, there are many females that love themselves some guns. And this is another great shirt that you can get. It's a camouflage shirt with InfoWars.com written across. And now you have a choice. Do you want to end the TSA or end the Fed? We also have this great Army-style t-shirt, and this shirt, as well as many others, are available at InfoWarsStore.com. And last but not least, may the truth be with you. Obviously a reference to the Star Wars film. All these shirts are available at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars Magazine is more than just our answer to the Internet kill switch. We're also going back to the roots of this country. When our founders, for a decade before 1776, known as the pamphleteers, with hundreds of little printing presses in every colony, got out the real news, the real information, and countered the system. This is tailored, designed with the truth to wake up your friends and family. This is the 21st century version of the pamphleteers. So get them at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up and buy them in bulk. Sign up and be a micro distributor for a full year to buy them in bulk and get one of the newsstands added, or sign up and get 12 issues delivered to your door or give a gift subscription. Whatever you do, be part of the fight. And I want to salute and thank all of you that are subscribers and are getting the magazine in bulk or who have ever come to InfoWarsStore.com and bought any of our products, because we are supported by patriots and liberty lovers like you. We couldn't do it without you.
Welcome back. Last week, Melissa Melton wrote an article titled Breaking, Texas Moves to Forcibly Inoculate Children. And this was based off an email that I had received the night before from Sherry Tenpenny via our next guest, Don Richardson, and talking about three bills coming up in the Texas legislature, SB 63, 64, and House Bill 772. And here to talk with us about these is the director of the National Vaccine Information Center, Don Richardson. Don, how are you doing today?
Hi, fine, thank you.
And so you run a few websites. Tell us a little bit about the work you've done, and then let's get into these bills and what they mean for Texans and then for people all over the country, because this is something that we're seeing starting in California, and it's making its way across the country.
Thank you so much. I run the advocacy program for the National Vaccine Information Center. We have a website, nvicadvocacy.org, and we track bills that affect your right to be able to refuse or delay a vaccination. It's that simple. Informed consent is very important in any medical procedure, especially in a procedure like vaccination, where it is known that it can cause injury or death in some people, and that the government has absolved the pharmaceutical companies from any liability if your child does get hurt. We feel it is particularly important that your right is preserved to be able to say no and request more information. So that's what we do with NVICAdvocacy.org. We are the advocacy program for the National Vaccine Information Center. I also run the Texas grassroots group PROVE. I'm a co-founder and president, and what we do is we track these specific issues for the state of Texas, and we worked very heavily with the legislature over the years, and in 2003, we were responsible for getting the conscientious exemption to vaccination passed in the Texas legislature. We have a lot of support out there, a lot of families in the state of Texas and across the country who are on board with making sure that their families' rights are protected, and so we really appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you all about this stuff today.
Oh, and what I like is that this movement is growing. A few years ago, people didn't really want to talk about vaccines out in the open. Now, anywhere I go, any parents I talk to, vaccine, when they find out I work for Alex Jones, one of the first things they ask me for about is, you know, vaccines, do you vaccinate your children? What do you do? I said, well, you got to get the facts. I said, have you ever read a vaccine insert? And I just go from there.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. You know. Absolutely. It's a good point, Rob. You know, more and more people also are meeting people who are adversely affected now that so many adults are having to receive vaccines for work. And we'll talk about that later. And so many kids have had so many injuries with all of these vaccines that have been added recently to the schedule. It's especially a shocker for grandparents when they see what their grandchildren are being vaccinated with today, because they remember what the list was when their children were receiving vaccines, and it's triple, if not more. And so it is a growing issue for sure.
And I got a quick message for people out there. I'm going to address the camera just for 1 second here. Back in the 50s, they knew the polio vaccine had the SV40 virus in it, and they still inoculated millions and millions of people with it. So if you think that back in the 50s, it was the good old days and vaccination was cool then, they had problems with it back then. And they have problems now, and we're not going to hear about the problems that they're having now for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. So just do the research out there, people. Don't make the mistakes that other people have made in this country. And let's go ahead and let's talk about the Texas bills real quick. SB 63 and 64, let's start in the Senate, and then we'll move to the House. Tell us about these bills and why they're important.
Senate Bill 63 is sponsored by Senator Jane Nelson, and what it does is it allows for minor children to consent to vaccination without parental knowledge or consent if that minor child is pregnant or if that minor child is a parent themselves. Now, I think people can understand why a child who's under 18, who's the actual legal custodian of a child, may want to consent for that child's immunization. But what is completely unacceptable about this bill in any way, shape, or form is to say that a minor child who is pregnant can go and consent to a vaccination without parental knowledge or consent. And the reason why it's unacceptable is if it were my child and she went without my knowledge and had a vaccine and she had a reaction, I would not be able to know what to look for. What if she started having serious symptoms? I would not know that she was exposed, but also I am financially responsible for her care. I am legally responsible for her care. And without that knowledge, going behind my back and being encouraged by some of these clinics and some of these doctors to do so when she might not have the capacity to be able to make that decision, especially given that obviously if an underage child is pregnant, they're not making the best decision to begin with, then I think we really need to look at that and say, what are you doing in the Senate? This needs to stop. Minor children should not be consenting to vaccination under any circumstances without parental knowledge or consent.
I agree. This is a classic case of the state wanting to become the parent. And exactly. In any way they can, any little, they, and it's, you know, getting the nose under the tent, as they say, the camel's nose under the tent.
Absolutely. And also, you know, let's not forget about the pharmaceutical companies trying every way, shape, and form to expand the market and be able to get that one little extra group of people to get vaccines. And, you know, that's what all of these bills that we're talking about really relate to, is it's about them making more money.
The vaccine, I see it as kind of like the golden ticket. If you were to take a Willy Wonka reference, you get that first vaccine and it debilitates you for life or causes something. And then you're a lifelong patient of these vaccine companies, whether it's getting more drugs, more pills, more injections. They always have something else to help you with, no matter what, you know, the problem is. It's never the vaccine's fault, though. It's never the golden ticket's fault. It's always something else. They always have a study to try to prove it's something else. Let's move on to SB 64.
Sure.
That's even scarier because that's going to affect a lot of people across the state of Texas.
Absolutely. What SB 64 does is it requires anybody that has a licensed child care facility. This could be an in-home daycare. It could be a church daycare. It could be a full-fledged business with a freestanding building where they have dozens of kids. It's every daycare system that is licensed to operate in the state of Texas. It requires them to come up with a mandatory vaccination policy with penalties if someone doesn't comply. This is not an experimental thing here. Last session, Jane Nelson, who's the author of this bill, also authored another bill that did this to healthcare workers. It is virtually identical language. And what we've seen happen since then is multiple good, dedicated, qualified healthcare workers around the state are being fired for standing up their right to say no to a vaccine. They're pushing the flu vaccine on all these healthcare workers. They're pushing pertussis vaccination. They're pushing a whole bunch of them. Even in some cases, I've heard of chickenpox vaccination on adults. So this is not a guess here that this bill is going to cause problems. We have a history of what it's already doing in the healthcare market and what it's doing to these dedicated people. This is an industry where we already have shortages of good qualified people, and we're taking people that have been decades in the field, dedicating their lives to the service of others, and we're throwing them out on the street because they don't feel comfortable getting a flu shot because either they have had a past reaction, they feel that they don't need it because they're healthy, and they see the evidence sometimes of what happens to some of their coworkers, how they get sick after receiving a vaccine. This is not something that we need to take lightly. We need to stand up, because if we can rationalize a field being required to take a vaccine to be able to just support your family, for you to get out and get a job and support your family, where is this going to stop? We have to draw the line. Your skin, the boundary of your skin, should be the border here, and they are crossing it big time. And it's really up to the individual employees as to whether or not they decide they want to use a vaccine. People should not be extorting their employment with a vaccination.
I totally agree. And we just had that article up on screen. Healthcare workers fired for failing to get flu vaccinations. And this was in Cincinnati, Ohio. They fired 150 of their 10,000 employees because they would not get vaccinated against the flu. It's 150 brave people that actually stood up. They got fired for it. But I think you'll see some vindication there in the future from them. But more people have to stand up. It's got to be more than 150 out of 10,000. It's got to be 5,000 out of 10,000.
And it can't be just the people who are affected. When they do this incremental creep going after each field, people feel like, well, that doesn't affect me. That's not my job. But the problem is, the more they do this, the more likely it's going to happen in your field as well. We all need to step up and say, you should not be required to have to put chemical substances that can cause injury or death into your body to be able to have a job. That is unreasonable. And here is a situation where the state is requiring them to come up with a policy for this. Now, there's some tricky language in these bills that I just want to clarify, because people may say, well, you can get an exemption. The problem is the language in the bill. The conscientious exemption language, it says in the bill that it's up to the facility that they may offer an exemption. The problem is, when you give them the choice, none of them are doing it. As a matter of fact, when the healthcare worker bill was up last session, we had an amendment put on the bill. We had a lot of support from the legislature to require a conscientious exemption to be offered. But the problem was the bill author had it stripped out in conference committee. That bill was killed. She added this language onto the Medicaid finance bill in special session, and there's no way to stop that. The whole purpose of that bill was to come up with a financial scheme for education and for Medicaid. And so we couldn't kill that. So she got this language through. It was not something that was popular. The language needs to absolutely 100% require that an exemption be offered for reasons of conscience. But it's not like that right now. And most facilities are hiding behind this and firing people for two reasons. One, because sometimes they get better reimbursements or quality ratings for their vaccination rates. And so they're using this legislation to excuse themselves for firing good people. And it's just not okay. And the same thing's going to happen in every area that it expands to. And this daycare system is the first area outside of healthcare workers where we're seeing this come up.
Well, Don, I think we need to go a step further. I think we just need to kill these bills in committee. We need to put pressure on these people. Let them know that, you know, we're sick and tired of the government getting into our business and telling us what we have to do with our bodies. And this is just another example of that. And then let's go to, House Bill, what is it? House Bill 772. Wow. This is even worse. If it couldn't get any worse, this is worse.
Absolutely. And this to me is a threat to every single person in the state. House Bill 772 requires everybody in the state, adults and children, to be put into a vaccine tracking system. You need to understand the history, though. Back in 1997, the state health department tried to create their vaccine tracking system and include everybody. We got involved. We got parents all over the state, families writing to legislators, and the legislature agreed that opt-in informed consent was necessary before someone could be included. Every single session, almost every single session, somebody has come back to try and change this from an opt-in system to an opt-out system. But it's so much worse than an opt-out system. This is forced inclusion. Everybody would have to go in, and then you'd have to somehow learn that you're in there and go pull yourself out. But how's that going to even happen? They would have to keep a database on everybody who is a non-consenter so that when the data is automatically dumped by health insurance companies, by doctor's offices, to this tracking system, they have to know who to not include. So by the way the whole system is set up, if you're forced to opt out or pull your data out after it's in, you're still being tracked. This is absolutely unacceptable. Nobody should be able to take your private health information, especially vaccine records when vaccines are so controversial, and put them in a database where you're authorized, where the state is authorized to contact you by phone, by email, and the legislation even goes back and says home visits. That is what this would allow them to do if you don't have the vaccine. Can you imagine getting a phone call or a letter from the health department or knock on your door saying you didn't have your flu shot this year? This is way, way overreaching. Luckily, enough people called that committee the day of the hearing, and that bill has not been advancing. That was temporarily pulled down, but we have to watch that one like a hawk. That language could be added on to another bill, or this could come up again when we're not aware of it. So we really need to watch and keep the pressure up. This is completely unacceptable.
And we actually saw that in California. There's news footage of a news crew following around a guy trying to get people to, hey, did you know your daughter's not up to date on her shots? Like knocking on people's doors and telling them this. And hey, we're here to give them the shots if they're ready. And you know, what was funny is people were slamming the doors in the guy's face, telling them get off their property. I mean, it's good to see Americans speaking out against this stuff because we need to do it. We need to do it. Tell us how people can get involved and talk about the, and put pressure on their legislators, and then talk about in on your website, the NVICAdvocacy.org, how you guys actually have a list of bills that people need to watch all over the country, not just in the state of Texas.
Sure. Okay, so on the first bill, Senate Bill 63, the one that allows for a minor child to go and get consent to vaccination without parental knowledge or consent, this one, we have a procedural issue that we can hang them on. I was at the committee. I submitted a registered opposition to this bill. the senator, after the bill was passed out of committee, has recommended it go to something called the local and uncontested calendar, meaning that it'll just get signed through and there won't be a debate on the floor about it. The problem is they're not allowed to do that if there was opposition. And if you go on the legislative website for the state of Texas, it shows that we were opposed to it. So she's trying to get away with something here. So on Senate Bill 63, we need everybody calling their state senator and telling them there is opposition registered on this bill. This should not go up to local unconsented calendars. This should be debated in the legislature and it should be voted down because no child has the capacity to understand the consequences of a potential vaccine reaction. And the parent needs to know if this kid's getting vaccinated so they can help them if they have a reaction. And they're required to pay for any damages in doctor's visits. So if they make those points to their senator about Senate Bill 63, we're in great shape. And for Senate Bill 64, the one that requires the child care workers to have a vaccination policy where there's required vaccinations, also contact your state senator and tell them absolutely not. Is it okay for any worker in this state to be required to get a vaccine to keep their jobs? If they're not listening, ask them how they would feel if in order to come in and serve their constituents every day, they had to get all these vaccines. Put it to them. I mean, they're in a crowded situation. They're up late in committee hearings. They're out to eat a lot. They don't necessarily have the healthiest lifestyle.
And we're concerned about their safety. We really are. We are.
About their safety, sure.
I'm worried about our legislatures.
Yeah, me too. But put it to them seriously, in all seriousness, if they're not willing to roll up their sleeves and whatever else and take these shots, they shouldn't be requiring somebody else to do it.
I agree.
It's hypocritical and it's unnecessary. So that's Senate Bill 64. Now, on House Bill 772, this is still in the committee. It was pulled down temporarily, but there has not been a vote on it. So we need to continue to contact the committee members of that committee. And it's also very, very important that we all contact our state representative and tell them about why this is a bad deal and why you don't want to be tracked by the state, that they should have to ask consent before they put anything in. They should not take your info and put it in, and then you have to go track it down and try and get out here. That's not acceptable. Let them know about this, because if it gets out of committee, and it could happen quickly at the end of the session, we need them to be ready with information, having heard from their constituents. We can't wait until then. So on that one, you're on House Bill 772 with the vaccine tracking system forcing everybody in, adults and kids. Let your representative know, absolutely vote no, and also the House Public Health Committee members to vote no. Now, I know this is a lot of information. Fortunately, we have all of this detailed on the NVIC Advocacy website. You can go to nvicadvocacy.org and look up the Bills for Texas on the Texas State page. It's also on the homepage, and it tells you the exact phone numbers of the legislators to contact. If you're logged in and registered to the advocacy portal, we even go one step further. We look up for you who your state representative and state senator are and display it just over to the right of the page that has the alert on what to do. And so you will see the phone number, web contact info for your state rep and state senator, and we look it up for you. It makes it easy. This is not just a Texas issue. We have all over the country. When you go on nvicadvocacy.org and scroll down, you will see all the states. There are horrible bills. There are bills to remove exemptions. There are bills to force new vaccines on kids. There are bills to force vaccinations on all kinds of people. And so it is really important that we all realize that we do have a role in protecting our rights, and we can make a difference. Sometimes it just takes two or three phone calls to a legislator to get them to wake up and see, hey, wait a minute, this isn't the bill that I was told it was. It actually does something else. And it's up to us to watch and to let them know to keep these people honest. It's that old expression that you used to hear, garbage in, garbage out. If the only stuff that these legislators are hearing are from the paid lobbyists who are protecting and promoting the rights of people who derive their income from vaccinations, then we can't expect anything but this garbage to come out. But if we take the time to educate them as to what these bills really do and how they impact real everyday people that are concerned about their family's health and safety, then a lot of times they will step up and take notice. And that's what we have behind us. We have the truth. We have the information. And so we're counting on all the people out there to pick up the phone, write an email, let people know about this. We have a feature on the NVIC advocacy webpage that allows you to share information about the site with a friend. It sends them a brief introductory email. It's private, it's confidential, and it just goes to your friend and it tells them about all the things we track and do so that they can be informed. We just need a lot more people stepping up, and if we all work on this together, we can stop this attack and this erosion of our rights to be able to keep our family safe.
I totally agree. And I think we need to launch investigations into these people who keep writing these bills and see where their money's coming from. Because I guarantee you it's not coming from, from NVIC.org. You know, it's coming from the vaccine companies. And I think that's what you'll find with these snakes. And they do this and they pretend it's for our safety. That's what really gets me. That they tell you they're helping you. They're here to help. And I think it was Ronald Reagan said the scariest word should be, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm not even a big Reagan fan, but those are words to live by. Dawn, that's all we have for today. We're going to send people to your site. Hopefully we can get some people activated and get more people out there educated on this issue because it is very important. Your children's health is the most important thing. And the most important gift you can give to them is good health.
And now they're after the adults as well. So, you know, you can say if you don't have kids, you can't sit back. They're coming after you to get you more shots as well. So
There you go. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. And there she goes. And I encourage you to get involved in this issue because vaccines are one of the biggest issues that we talk about here on this show. And from my own personal experience, I want to tell you this. Anytime a doctor, a pediatrician, a healthcare worker tries to push a vaccine onto you or your kids, ask them for the insert that comes with the vaccine. At first, they'll try to give you a piece of paper that says, these are safe and effective. And it's a one sheet, 8.5 by 11. Say, no, I want the insert that comes with the box. And when you open it up, it's like instructions you get with anything that you buy, a little instruction booklet. Well, you pull it out and it's long and you can unfold it. It's about this big. And you're going to find there, the words on every vaccine that I've ever looked at has these exact words. Has not been tested for cancerous or mutagenic potential. That's all I need to see. If they haven't tested the vaccine to see if it causes cancer, I don't want it in my body. I don't want it in my kid's body. So just a little bit to think about. Love hearing your stories, your comments. Please email me, robd@infowars.com. Anything you got, I do read almost all the emails I get. I try to answer the ones I can. Pretty busy here at the InfoWar. Hope you like the new news bulletins that we've been putting out. These are just quick little pieces of news that you can send out to your friends and family out there on any issue you want. We're going to start doing those. At least 5 or 6 a week will be coming out from the different reporters. Hope you like what you see here. We're going to be expanding and growing, and we do need your help. Please consider getting a membership to PrisonPlanet.tv. It's a monthly subscription fee, $5.95 a month, but it allows you to share your password and user code with up to 10 other people at the same time. You could have 11 people on there at once using your username and passcode. It's a great way to spread the information, a great way to get the word out, and it supports us here at the InfoWar and lets us do the job that we do, bringing you the information that we're bringing you. And we're hiring more people. We're building more studios. We're taking it to the next level. So we do need your help. Please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. And with that, that's our show for today. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and we will see you here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central for the InfoWars Nightly News.